We've gathered to honor the Lord. So join us as we bless his holy name.
Well, it's a delight to welcome you this morning to the North Lima Mennonite Church worship service. I hope that you'll be greatly enriched from participating in worship together with us. At the same time, it's our desire to honor the one whose name is above all names. So we trust that Jesus Christ will be glorified in our time together. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we do want to honor you today. We do want to worship you and to lift you up and to exalt you. And we pray that as we do that, that your Spirit would again encourage our hearts, refresh us, renew us, rejuvenate our soul and our mind, so that we would be even like the earth around us, coming to new life. We just thank you, Lord, that you're calling forth us unto fruitfulness and newness of life. And so may that take place even as we seek to honor you in this way, in this gathering, at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like to just make several announcements. And again, I trust that you've had a chance to read the bulletin, either online or if you're getting it in the mail. And if there is somebody that would like to have an actual bulletin mailed to you, just let me know, and I'd be glad to do that. Something that's happening this next week is that LMC is having a conference-wide prayer meeting. Be taking place this Thursday evening. It's at 7 o'clock, and you will be able to access that. It's a time of guided prayer for folks all throughout the LMC church network. And so you will access that by Zoom. Now, just sort of a follow-up on what we hope has been taking place. If your household has students in a youth or primary Sunday school class, you should have gotten information from a teacher regarding accessing the lessons. You can access those electronically. Those lessons should be available for each week here for your Sunday school. Also, the new devotionals, Rejoice, are here at the church, the June, July, August issue. So if you make use of that and you would like a copy, let me know and I'll either get it in the mail to you or make sure that somehow it appears at your doorstep. So again, the new devotional is here. Let me know if you would like a copy of that. All right, we continue our singing now with How Majestic Is Thy Name.
Your name in all the earth, O Lord, our Lord.
I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that in reading through the Bible, we discover something about the Lord. We read about His name or the name of Jesus as we move from book to book throughout the Scriptures. And this morning, we would like to share with you something that's called Name Above All Names. It's actually from one of the hymnals that our worship team uses behind the scenes, called the Celebration Hymnal, Songs and Hymns for Worship. And we trust that you'll be blessed as we share, first of all, names from the Old Testament, and then after our next song selection, we will be doing the New Testament names. So. In Genesis, Jesus is the ram at Abraham's altar.
In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb.
In Leviticus, he's the high priest.
In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and pillar of fire by night.
In Deuteronomy, he's the city of our refuge.
In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out Rahab's window.
In Judges, he is our judge.
In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer.
In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet.
And in Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king.
In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe.
In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken.
And in Esther, he is the Mordecai sitting faithful at the gate.
In Job, he's our redeemer that ever liveth.
In Psalms, he is my shepherd and I shall not want.
In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom.
And in the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom.
In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant.
In Jeremiah and Lamentations, it is Jesus that is the weeping prophet.
In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man.
And in Daniel, he is the fourth man in the midst of a fiery furnace.
In Hosea, he is my love that is forever faithful.
In Joel, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit.
In Amos, he's our burden bearer.
In Obadiah, our Savior.
And in Jonah, he is the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world.
In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet.
In Nahum, he is the avenger.
In Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for revival.
In Zephaniah, he is the Lord, mighty to save.
In Haggai, he is the restorer of our lost heritage.
In Zechariah, he is our fountain.
And in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings.
Thou art mighty, thou art.
In Matthew, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
In Mark, he is the miracle worker.
In Luke, he's the Son of Man.
And in John, he is the door by which every one of us must enter.
In Acts, he is the shining light that appears to Saul on the road to Damascus.
In Romans, he is our justifier.
In 1 Corinthians, our resurrection.
In 2 Corinthians, our sin bearer.
In Galatians, he redeems us from the law.
In Ephesians, he is our unsearchable riches.
In Philippians, he supplies our every need.
And in Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon coming king.
In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man.
In Titus, he is our blessed hope.
In Philemon, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
And in Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant.
In James, it is the Lord that heals the sick.
In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd.
In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it is Jesus who has the tenderness of love.
In Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000 saints.
And in Revelation, lift up your eyes, church, for your redemption draweth nigh.
He is our King of kings and Lord of lords.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate all of you that are continuing to give your tithes and offerings, even though we're not meeting together. You can send them in, or you can do them online, or get them here somehow. But at this point, I would like to ask the blessing on the tithes and offerings that were submitted this week. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of your people. We thank you for those that are honoring you through the giving of their first fruits. And I just pray your rich blessing upon both the gift and the giver, and trust that you will help us as a church to be good stewards of what you make available. And we pray that our ministries and missionaries would all continue to be fully supported, and that you be praised and glorified, and your kingdom continue to come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Be blessed as Carla Bear has our offertory music for us this morning. Well, these days we're taking a look at the Ten Commandments, and today we're ready for the third of those ten: don't take the Lord's name in vain. That takes us in the scriptures to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. It's on the screen there, so why don't you say it with me? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Well, you've heard it said, or perhaps you jokingly said it yourself, you know, you can call me whatever you want to, as long as you call me to dinner. Well, that, of course, isn't really the case for most of us. It would bother us, for example, if people called us certain things, especially if it were derogatory in nature. It would bother us, would it not, if there were a particular tone of voice used. Robert Dean Wingard? You know, that kind of thing. The spelling of our name is important to us as well. And I know sometimes that gets to be really tricky. Actually, I have on occasion already said, you know, Diane's name is spelled with two N's, D-I-A-N-N-E. We all like to have our names be what they are. But what is it that we need to be aware of as we consider God's name? What is it that we need to be mindful of as we think about and ponder the third commandment? There are three things I want to highlight this morning. One of them being that God's name is holy. In a moment, I want to talk about that. And then I want to talk about the entire matter of we are not to be taking God's name in vain. And then I want to talk about the fact that we need to uphold God's name. So let's begin with that first one. God's name is holy. It seems to me that the hymn writer, Reginald Heber, must have recognized and been thoroughly impressed with, perhaps thoroughly immersed with, this matter of the holiness of God. Listen carefully to how he put it, as he put it in words. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 Lord God, merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Some of you need to help me when reciting this thing. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, in purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thee, thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Yes. Hey, if you folks were here, you'd see some of you'd see the three people sitting in the pews reciting it along with me. Yes. Well, what has been your concept of God? What has been your understanding of his nature and character? If it doesn't include his holiness, then it is lacking in understanding. God's name is holy because that is the essence of who he is. I mean, he is much more than that, but he certainly is that. Let me share some scripture that not only substantiates what I've been saying, but it actually builds on that. And I'd like you to note what is being said here about the name of the Lord in this particular passage. Psalm 111, verse 9. Says he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Holy and awesome is his name. In Psalm 8 verse 1, it declares, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. In Psalm 148, verse 13, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Jeremiah 10, 6, and the first part of verse 7 puts it like this, inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Now, when we go to the New Testament, we also find some really significant statements regarding the name of the Lord. In Ephesians 1, verse 21, for example, a reference to Jesus having been raised from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. In Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, it likewise talks about the name of Jesus being exalted. God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, what's in a name? Well, when it comes to the name of the Lord, more than you and I often recognize, more than we often think about. So then, we've said that God's name is holy. Let's think then about the second point. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain. We're not to take the Lord's name in vain. I read a, it's both interesting and very sobering kind of quote here. The Parents Television Council reported that now this goes back to 2007. That may seem like a long time ago now. But 2007, 95.9% of uses of the word God on primetime network television were in vain. And I don't think that things have gotten any better since 2007. Even on something as family-friendly as Wheel of Fortune, there are contestants who, upon winning, yes, they're excited, but they may be blurting out an "oh my," and then they use the name God. It appears that OMG is used by even some professing Christians and followers of Jesus, not thinking about what they are saying or how they're using the name of the Lord. The third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? According to the Ten Commandments Then and Now, a small volume, the phrase in vain means empty, useless, without thought. So using God's name in vain means to invoke his name in passing without a worthy reason. What we say does make a difference. It does matter. For example, the believers in Colossae were told this. They were told, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Radio preacher and pastor Alistair Begg said, surely one of the most alarming signs of our culture's slide toward Gomorrah is the blasphemous language on the lips of even small children. What a person says actually is a reflection of what is, or do we say what isn't, in the heart. You and I are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what the scripture calls us to. We are to be renewed in knowledge according to the image of our Creator God and of our Savior Jesus. Now, another scripture that really calls us to pay attention to what we say is in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now that begs a question then. As we think about what you and I say, is it fitting for saints? Is it fitting or becoming as followers of Jesus? What about the things that are posted on Facebook? Is it fitting for saints? What about the jokes that are shared at the gym? What about the words that are spewed out when we get angry? How it must sadden the Lord when people invoke his name in cursing others, when they literally ask him to bring damnation upon someone else. How it must sadden the Lord when people use the precious name of Jesus as a curse word. But what about misusing the Lord's name in other ways? Some people attach his name in just empty promises, saying stuff like, "I swear on a stack of Bibles, you know, cross my heart and hope to die," all that kind of stuff. There have been different times that in working with people that have perhaps needed assistance, and we've helped them as a church, and some of them have literally been in the building here, and I've shown them around, and they've commented about how nice our facility is and how attractive it looks, and some of them have stood right back here in back of the sanctuary, and emphatically, it's not that I invite them to come, but it's not that I'm making our assistance as a, you have to come kind of thing at all. But I've had some people say, I'm going to be here on Sunday morning. I promise. Are very, very emphatic in what they say and all of that. But they didn't come. Have you ever made a vow before the Lord that you haven't kept? The Bible says it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. That's in Ecclesiastes 5:5. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, people were told, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." But it's not always just profanity. It's not always just perjury, if you will. I mean, saying one thing and it's totally the opposite. In some cases, it's just a very casual or flippant response to the Lord. What does it mean, for example, when a person refers to someone, to one that is holy, holy, holy as the man upstairs? What does it mean when someone refers to Jesus in a manner that totally diminishes who he is? The third commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." I was reminded how that on one occasion Jesus called people to task, noting that from the heart come forth good things and from the heart come forth evil things. And then Jesus said this, it's Matthew 12, 36 and 7, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak," and you know, this, it is really sobering to me here, "for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Well, we have seen two things, one being that God is holy, and another being that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain. But let's move on now to a third point, and that is that we are to uphold God's name. Now, how do we do that? How do we uphold God's name? I mean, do we literally march through the neighborhood holding a big poster saying, God's name is holy? Or do we make sure we have a bumper sticker that says, you know, honk three times if you believe in the Trinity? Or do we contract with the, I've got it, we'll contract with the Goodyear blimp to fly overhead, a big banner that says, you know, Jesus is coming in the clouds. Well, we chuckle, and actually, I'm not wanting to diminish the fact, the possibility of some of us being called to participate in the march. After all, as a church, for some years, we participated in a march for Jesus, and we had banners, and there was something very rich about that experience. Nor do I want to diminish the use of people using bumper stickers or t-shirts or whatever as a witness, or some other creative means that the Spirit may impress upon them, be it a Goodyear blimp or whatever. But what I would like us to think about, though, is upholding God's name in our prayers, in our praise, and in our petitions. We're to uphold God's name in our prayers. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to his disciples about praying, and he was saying, you know, when you pray, don't just use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think they're going to be heard because of, you know, how many times they say this or whatever. Don't be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, when we pray, you know, we're not calling the plumber or the banker or the florist or the service department at the car dealership or whatever. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. We do need to respect people when we were making those calls as well. But the point is that prayer is calling upon the one whose name Jesus said is hallowed. Hallowed. Hallowed is the opposite of common by definition. It's that which is sanctified. It's that which is holy. When we pray, we're to approach God with a realization that he is our Heavenly Father and his name is hallowed. Well, we uphold God's name in our praise and worship as well. David said in Psalm 34, 1-3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Their humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hey, folks, there are people here that are repeating that with me again. That's wonderful. What is happening when you magnify something? It is enlarged or it is strengthened. Do you see these things I've got on my nose these days? They're bifocals. I need them. And now I'm even throwing stuff on the copier and enlarging it sometimes for better ease of reading. Or here at the church, when there's something that is projected on the screen, it is magnified. It'd be interesting to know how many times or how, but it is greatly magnified when it appears on the screen from the projector. In our praise and worship, we are to give the Lord the glory due His name, declaring His greatness, exalting Him, lifting up His name. And this is to be more than just a sometime occasional kind of thing. David in his psalm was talking about doing it at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, we also can uphold God's name in our proclamation. Colossians 3, we had noted that we're to put off blasphemy and filthy language and put on the new man. And in verse 17, Colossians 3:17, the summary statement was then given, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The MSG puts it like this, "Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, and whatever be done in the name of the Master Jesus." Now, this past week, I have watched an interview, and I'm trying to remember how I got to it. It may have appeared in my inbox, but anyway, it was an interview that Channel 21, WFMJ, had done with John Muckeridge, director of the rescue mission in Youngstown. And the interview, which was a fairly extensive interview, had questions posed to John: how is COVID-19 affecting the ministry there at the mission? And he was explaining that it really has had, they've had to make quite a few changes, to comply with the distancing requirements. And so that affected the lodging, had to reconfigure things there. It affected their meals. They're no longer doing dining room meals. They're just doing meals otherwise. And then John said, "You know, we have served the Lord Jesus Christ since 1893. And we're going to continue serving him now." And I thought, good for you, John. This is what? Our local news, our local network station. And then he was asked, "What are the financial ramifications here? You know, is this making a difference with your finances?" And perhaps, and so on. And they are going to be approaching their more lean giving season coming up in the summer months. And then John noted, "But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ has always been faithful, and we're going to keep trusting him right now." Well, talk about proclamation. It just came so naturally from what John was saying in response to those interview questions. It's a great blessing when a believer upholds the Lord when referring to whatever it is, whether it's their ministry, as in John's case, whether it's their business, whether it's their circumstances, whatever. The point is that God's name is holy. We're not to take his name in vain, and we are to uphold his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. We do rejoice in you and thank you for the opportunity to lift you up, to hear from you and how we need you. Continue to guide us, continue to help us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Flood our hearts with your mercy and your grace, that we might continue to praise you even in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week I had invited you to submit things that you were thankful for, that you wanted to praise the Lord for, perhaps a brief testimony or whatever. So here are the ones that I received. Kathy Holt says, "Praise God for a new grandson. Ivan and Andrea had their son Oliver Harrison on April 16. Yeah, we do rejoice with the Holt family in that. Millie Parsons gives thanks for the cards, phone calls, and food that was dropped off on her birthday. Robert Wengard says, "I have really been noticing how the birds are singing when I wake up and get up in the morning. I'm thankful for that gift from the Lord and for that reminder of how He cares for us." Well, we continue to be concerned about folks, in some cases relatives, distant relatives that are affected and are recovering from COVID-19. And we continue to have people on our prayer list that are dealing with health concerns. And those are in the listed there in the bulletin. And of course, we're continue to be concerned about the entire crisis situation, not only in our neck of the woods, but really around the world. So let's pray. Lord, we do rejoice in You and thank You for Your wonderful, matchless name, and that we can continue to share together as a group of believers. We do rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep, and we pray for those that are hurting and dealing with health complications and are waiting upon You, whether it's Carol McCoy with her AFib situation with her heart, or whether it's James Moore dealing with the complications and repercussions of his recent chemo and radiation, or whether it's those that are waiting for procedures and surgeries. And we just lift all of these individuals before You and ask that You will continue to be at work to minister healing and hope. And Lord, we do pray for those family members of individuals in our church that are recovering from COVID-19, and we pray that You will be at work to fully restore them to health and to wellness. At the same time, we realize the sobering reality of having one of the highest per capita rates of death from COVID-19 of any place in the state. And so we know there are a lot of people that are hurting. And we pray, Lord God, that You would really be near to these individuals and they could draw near to You, whether it is grieving families that need comfort, whether it is, again, loved ones that are in the midst of some situation in the hospital, perhaps. We entrust them to You and call upon Your name. And just pray that You would help us as a church and help us as individuals. Some have been continuing to work. Some are soon going back to jobs. But with new restrictions and requirements. And so please continue to direct in all of this. And help us to be on target with Your agenda. And may You continue to be lifted up and exalted in the midst of all of this. So we thank You for Your favor and Your faithfulness. And we just pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Well, for our final song today, take the name of Jesus with you. Go now in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be safe. Be the church. Amen.